Well, Don and Marty kind of put me in a predicament because they both did something different this morning. So I kept thinking, what am I going to do? Michelle said maybe I could throw my notes away, but I said, well, maybe not do that today. So I guess you're just stuck with the same old me today. But with that being said, if you will, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1, starting in verse 12. And as you're turning there, I want to open with a quote this morning from Timothy Keller. The quote says, "The gospel is not about choosing to follow advice. It's about being called to follow a king. Not just someone with power and authority to tell you what needs to be done, but someone with the power and authority to do what needs to be done, and then to offer it to you as good news. This is the power of the most amazing gospel that we have the opportunity to share. This gospel is something we should want others to know about. After all, it changed our lives." So I just want you to think about that this morning. And I think about what the mission of Christ means to you. When your life was changed by the gospel, part of the reason it was changed was because somebody planted a seed of fruit in your heart. And as that seed began to take root, you began to grow in the truth of what Christ was and who He was, and it began to change you. Someone cared about you enough to share the truth that changed them at once with you. Perhaps it was your parents, maybe it was a dear friend, a family member, maybe it was a preacher or a Sunday school teacher, but whatever it was, whoever it was, someone cared about you enough to tell you the truth of Christ if you're saved today. And whoever it was, that moment that it happened, whether or not you realize it, it changed your life forever. So the disciples here in Acts, as we're getting closer to reading the scripture, continue their commitment to the gospel message through prayer and supplication. And Christ had went on and ascended into heaven at this point without a leader. As the disciples stand, what are they to do? Think of what Joey was saying this morning, right? Isn't it nice to know all the answers? Christ had done given them the answers, as we're going to learn this morning. We maintain the same obligation the disciples once had, an obligation to spread the good news of Christ. But the question is, what manner in which do we do that? And what are you doing today to share the hope that is within you? Let's look at God's word this morning. Acts chapter 1, verse 12 says this: "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, and where abode both Peter and James, and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, Zealots, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord, according in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called in their proper tongue, Aceldama, that is to say, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take." Let's pray. Father God, as we come before you today, Father, may we recognize our obligation in your mission today. Not just to stand stagnant in our lives, but to teach your truth, to live your truth, to act upon your truth, and Father, to live on mission today. Father, how is it that you would change our hearts and our minds that we may plant the same truth, the same hope in another that you have planted in us? Father, that you have used human hands, perhaps throughout our lives, to show us the truth that you have given us, the hope that you have given us. Father, would you today just show us how we can live that out in our lives? Father, lead us and guide us through your word. And I say this in your most kind and gracious heavenly name. Amen. The disciples had an obligation here to fulfill the Great Commission. Yet we find the first thing they do is gather together. But they gather together in prayer and supplication. They walk alongside with Jesus before they begin the work of Jesus. Just consider, why would that be this morning? Why would they find themselves being just fresh off of the leadership of Jesus, going right back to him before they continue his work? Well, step one for the disciples to continue their ministry was to go to their Father in prayer and to seek his leadership and guidance. So, for us today, the same goes. To go to Christ, to go to his leadership and see how he would direct our paths. They didn't act foolishly or ignorantly. They didn't just act to act. They didn't act off of emotion. They took methodical steps toward their goal by seeking Christ rather than their own desire. So I want to ask you today, what does it look like to seek Christ's goal rather than your own? Because sometimes it's quite easy for us to get on the path of seeking our goals and our hopes and our dreams, even when it comes to the gospel, even when it comes to church life, even when it comes to the activities that we partake in coming into this building, how easy it is to look and see, what is it that we want? What is it that we hope for? What is it that we dream of, but not what Christ dreams of? So what does it look like for you to look for Christ's goal in your heart and your life, in whatever walk or path that may be, instead of your own? Could you imagine the impact that may be had for Christians today if we would gather together and say, Lord, we want your will, so show us your will. Instead of, Lord, this is what I want, give it to me. You know, so often I think that's the mentality, right? What do we hope for? What do we want? Well, that's what we ask for. Instead of looking for what Christ wants and what Christ hopes and seeking that. So why is it that we find ourselves there? I think the modern church has become too much about the will of man rather than the will of Christ. And that's a scary place to be. You know, mankind focused on what makes us feel good and what makes us happy. We have become completely ignorant to God's will for our life. And that is a terrifying place to be. That we are so self-indulged, so committed to our hopes, that we've missed his. But Christ's disciples didn't do this. Well, they certainly had questions. They had a deep desire for what Christ had given them to continue the gospel message and continue it forward. So we need that same desire today. But just as the disciples had the desire, we need to ask, Christ, what is your will? Lead us. Now, here's the dilemma. The disciples here in Acts were still short a leader. Jesus had ascended into heaven, and though they certainly still had him at their disposal, it wasn't in the physical sense. So what now? Imagine the confusion, perhaps maybe a little despair, a little frustration of a group of warriors with no one to lead them. Imagine an army ready to conquer their enemy, but they have no leader. What do they do? Well, without Jesus, they had to find a solution. And they do just that. Passionate to carry their mission, but confused by the means in which they do so, we find that a man named Peter steps up into a leadership role and displays leadership qualities. We heard Joey talking about Peter this morning, and that Peter knew all the answers, right? Peter said that you are Lord. So Peter knew. Why did Peter know that? Because he walked closely with Christ. The same thing that made Peter a good leader. And so we find here in verses 15 through 17 of the scriptures we just read there in Acts, it says, "And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of disciples and said, 'Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. So we know that Peter spoke about Christ's death, he spoke about Christ's resurrection, and he spoke about Christ's ascension. It meant something to him. So soon, he led into a discussion for a need to fill the vacancy for the missing seat of Judas Iscariot that had left and betrayed Jesus. And so, the reason I wanted to mention that this morning is because when we see Peter here, we see him stepping up as a leader. What we really see is that through his leadership, the disciples begin to move forward. They begin to receive the calling of the Great Commission that Jesus had given them and take it to heart, and they begin to live it. But why do they begin to do that? Because Peter saw that he had to depend on what Christ wanted and not what he wanted. So he begins to lead in that manner. And he begins to teach in that manner. And he begins to talk to the disciples in that manner. And he steps up. So it was through this leadership that we see the gospel, the New Testament church that we know today, begin to move forward. So today I want us to know that we have been called to do kingdom work just as they had once, but it is not only our clear responsibility, it should be our clear desire. See, that was the thing with Peter. He didn't see the Great Commission as a responsibility as much as he did his heart. He knew where his heart was. He knew what he cared about and what he was passionate about and what he loved, and he knew he loved Jesus, and he knew he loved Jesus' mission. And because he loved Jesus' mission, he works toward Jesus' mission, and he does it passionately, and he does it faithfully, and he does it boldly. Not because it was just his desire, but because it's what Christ had showed him. Just as the disciples had to move forward and begin the work of Christ that had been laid before them, what does it look like in us doing the same today? Unfortunately, many of us do not find ourselves in situations in which we put ourselves to share God's Word. We find ourselves looking for our own hopes today, happy with the gospel work we have accomplished and happy to not move forward as long as we don't have to go against the status quo. So I ask you today, what is it that's holding you back? Why are you sitting happy when many Christians before you have devoted their entire life to the Great Commission, to the kingdom message of salvation that Christ has given us, to the hope that sits within you if you're saved today? Why do you find yourself content? Are you seriously happy keeping this good news within you? In an article entitled, "What is the Gospel?" J.I. Packer listed four different characteristics that the gospel is. I just want to go through those characteristics one at a time here. First, he said, the gospel is a message about God. So, if the gospel is a message about God Himself, what justice do we find in ignoring it? How is it that we can consider ourselves to be walking near the Savior today if we really don't care about the gospel that is about God? It's impossible for us to walk with God and to be of the world. Sometimes we fail to recognize the connection between the gospel and God the Father Himself. The gospel is God's plan for redemption upon mankind. And sometimes we connect it directly with Jesus and Jesus alone, but the Father created this plan so that we could have hope. It was His plan to save the world, to send His Son to Calvary's cross to die for the sins of the world, and He set this plan in motion. So unwilling to share this truth, we find ourselves disconnected from God the Father. So really think about that for a minute. Is it possible for you to be, and I want you to ask this question in your life, is it possible for you to walk with God while not telling people about Him? No way. No way. We become an enemy to the gospel, and we become an enemy to God Himself. The second thing J.I. Packer lists is he says the gospel is a message about sin. Think of it. A sin entered the world, corrupting the world. There had to be a solution, right? What could the solution to the sin problem be? Of course, at the time, they had to come and to give a perfect sacrifice in order to receive forgiveness. Yet God knew this plan couldn't last forever. There had to be a better way. So His Son's blood was spilled for the permanent sacrifice to rid the world of sin. Now you say, sin still happens. Sure it does. But Jesus gave us grace which conquered sin. No longer could sin win because Jesus had defeated it. Think of this. When we fail to share the gospel truth, we fail to recognize what Jesus did as a significant device to conquer sin. And that's why the gospel is a message about Christ, the Son, and His death, which is the third thing that J.I. Packer lists. Without the Son, there is no gospel. Forgiveness remains really difficult. The world remains hopeless. But the Son followed the Father's will for His life and became the hope of the world. So there we see it again through the Son, just like we saw earlier in Scripture with the disciples following the Father's will. So ask yourself today, what could you do to bring glory for this miraculous act? Simple enough. Follow His commands to continue His work. Grow faithful in having that personal relationship with Him. And as much as we may enjoy the extracurricular activities of this world, the things we love, the hobbies we desire, the things we oh so enjoy, is that really why we're here? What's most important to us? You know, Pastor Don loves the golf. Loves it. But if golfing is more important to him than the gospel, he's failed. Is it Christ and the hope that He gave within us that is most important to us? Or is it simply the world that He's placed us in, the creation that we live in, the things we like and enjoy, and the people that we like to be around? I've got some dear friends sitting in this building. My wife and son are in the nursery right now, but I can't put my hope in any of those things. Because when I do, I've failed. So the last thing that J.I. Packer lists, he says, the gospel is a summons to faith and repentance. I won't say that one again because I think that one's really significant. The gospel is a summons to faith and repentance. You know, we know the gospel is a call to us. It expects a response from us to seek faith and repentance. In other words, it's very simply this. That we would believe in the Lord with all of us and seek to turn from our evil ways unto Him, living a life for Him. So if the gospel really is about God the Father, sin, Christ the Son, and the call to faith and repentance, why are we so ashamed of it? Furthermore, why are we waiting to respond to it? You know, many people don't know Christ today. So really, there's two things to look at here. If you know Him today, why are you ashamed to tell others about Him? And if you don't know Him today, why are you waiting to respond to Him? Why are we ashamed to share this wonderful news that has been given to us? We find ourselves pretending, almost hiding from the opportunity to be a part of Christ because it may take away from what we like. Think about it for a moment. Church may take away from our opportunity to do the earthly things we like. Spending time out of our day to share Christ's truth in whatever way that looks like for you. It might hinder you, is how you feel. It might slow your day. It might get in the way. Imagine if Christ had thought about how much it would hurt or how much it would get in the way of His day when He was going to Calvary's cross to die for us. There would be no hope today. We find ourselves in this terrible place sometimes. where we're not excited to share about God. We're more focused on the fallen world that is around us. And see, that's the thing. If a fallen world's around us, one that can be redeemed through only the blood and the grace of Jesus Christ, if that's the world we truly find ourselves in today, like many of you here say, then how is it that we've grown so ashamed of that hope? I just find many Christians today hiding from any opportunity that may be facing them. For those of us who are saved and have received that grace, many among us seem like we are trying to grab hold of the grace of God and not let anyone else touch it, not let anyone else see it, not let anyone else hear it, and not let anyone else feel it. That's mine. You can't have it. The grace of God has been bestowed upon us, and the kind of joy that that brings should be a call to the advancement of the kingdom of God, not simply a call to sit still. Just as the disciples did the work that Christ had set for them, so the same work is required of us today. So I want to ask you today, and if you're taking notes, I want you to write down your answer to this following question. I want you to ask yourself, what are you going to do different in sharing the gospel? You don't have to write that answer immediately. Think about it. What are you going to do different in sharing the gospel, the mission of Christ? Now, when you take that answer home with you, are you going to respond to it? Or is it going to stay in your mind? Is it going to stay on your notes? Wherever you put it, right? If you keep it in your mind, if you're writing on your notes, are you going to set your notes on the desk? Or are you going to forget about it if it's in your mind and just let it slide by the wayside? Or are you going to respond to that question? Because I'm certain each one of us here could do a better job at being mission-minded for Christ. So what are you going to do, and are you going to respond? You know, you got to follow your words with actions. Meaning, if you write something down that you're going to do, or you say something that you're going to do, or you think something that you're going to do and you don't actually do it, really, that's lying to yourself or lying to someone else, depending on the situation. And it's no different than this. If you tell Christ, I'm going to do this better, or I'm going to do that better, but you don't, you've made a liar of yourself. Our words must be followed with actions. I find it an issue when Christians keep to themselves the good news of Christ, but I especially do when they say they're going to do better and they don't do anything about it. You know, I often think about when preaching and teaching and whatever else that we may do, in the shoes that Don or I am in especially, and what that may look like. And I think about the response of some of the hearts of you guys and the other people that hear us. And really, in reality, was anything I said worth anything if you don't respond to it? If it don't change your heart? If it doesn't make you into a new person? If there's not some action that follows it, whatever it may be, if we're just standing up here and talking, but your hearts don't change, your actions don't change, and really we did nothing. So I can promise you this, it's a wonderful feeling to share the good news of Christ with another when the person realizes truly what grace and salvation looks like, and they begin to see it, the light bulb effect, right? This isn't a bad thing. Sometimes I think we're scared to tell people about the truth of Christ, but in reality, when we just take that leap and do it, it's one of the most miraculous things you'll ever see. You know, have you ever seen someone so confused about what to do, and then all of a sudden they just know? They get it. That's what it's like to tell someone about the gospel. You know, it doesn't always happen that way, but a lot of times, for the few times it does happen, it makes it all worth it. When you tell someone about Christ, and all of a sudden they just get it. They know. They understand. It makes sense. All the wheels start turning. They start thinking. Man, that moment's so awesome. And I want each one of you to experience that moment. So that's why I'm up here today encouraging you to tell the truth of Christ with another. Because if you've experienced that today, truly by definition, what it is for Christ to work through you as a vessel, then you know what I'm talking about. But if you've just come to this altar at some point or another altar or prayed a prayer and become saved and then become happy in your comfy little pews, and you've not allowed God to use you as a vessel for His work, then you really don't have a clue of how wonderful it could be. And so that's what I want to share with you, how awesome it is to allow Christ to use you. You know, the disciples, they didn't have, you know, their human side, they didn't have to keep working after Christ ascended. What would it have looked like, though, if they'd have quit? If they'd have stopped, we wouldn't be sitting here today because there wouldn't be any New Testament church. But they know that Jesus Christ gave them a commission and they continued His work. And because they continued His work and they allowed Him to work through them and to use them as a vessel, then we begin to see lives changed throughout the book of Acts. If you go and read it, the lives that were changed, the hearts that were completely transformed. That's what it's all about, guys. What's Green Valley Baptist Church doing here if we're not going to share God's hope and truth? If we don't want to see that light bulb effect, if we don't want to see someone get it, if we don't want to see hearts transformed and worlds changed, are we just standing in the way of God's hope at that point? So the disciples, as we begin to conclude here, under Peter's leadership, they soon began to bring Matthias as a disciple who would replace Judas. And so Peter saw them forward, and it was through this act that they were expressing to each one who was with and around them a simple truth: it's time to move forward. You know, how easy it would have been at Christ's ascension for them to have went up into a room, went up into their back to their day jobs, whatever it may be, and decided that because it might be hard or because it might be uncomfortable, we're not going to do it. You know, I think that's our problem. Because it might be a little hard. Because it might be a little uncomfortable. We don't want to do it. But they didn't do that. Praise the Lord they didn't do that. Because Christ had died, but He had not died in vain. He died so that He may be able to give life and give it more abundantly. He died so that we may have grace. He died so that we may have a path to the Father through His blood. So, I just want to ask you, what about you today? Have you made a decision in your life to follow Him? And if not, why not? Because we see what the hope of the gospel is. We see what the truth of the word is. We see what wonderful, heart-transforming news that it is. And if that light bulb effect's beginning to take effect in your heart today, I hope you don't delay making that decision. So really, we're all looking at changes. What's going to change you? Perhaps God is calling you to repent and to follow Him in faith today. Perhaps you say, I'm beginning to understand that I'm a sinner and I need the grace of God to cover those sins. Friends, you can change all of this terrible worldly view that you've experienced, and you can live for Christ today. Could it be that you just say, I've held the gospel truth to myself, I've refused to share it, and I've held back the hope of Jesus Christ because of it? Perhaps you've had the opportunity to share it, maybe with a family member, maybe with a friend, maybe in a form of teaching, maybe just in a one-on-one setting, whatever it may be. But it was easier not to. It was more comfortable not to. If that is you today, you have the ability to share the grace that is within you. But if you're not willing to allow change to take place in your heart today, if you're not willing to say, I'm not going to hold it within me any longer, you simply must be willing to be bold and to trust in Christ to use you, just like we said, as a vessel. But as the disciples were called, they were called to be kingdom-minded and to focus on moving the gospel forward. So whatever that is today for you, however God may be asking you to respond today, be it for repentance, perhaps you have fallen away from Christ in certain aspects of your life, be it in sharing the gospel or in another aspect. Perhaps He's calling you to rededication, or He's calling you to set an example today through baptism or for church membership, whatever it may be. As Christ's word is called today, don't let it fall on your ears deaf. Don't leave this place and not let it change you. Because if you did, it was all in vain. That being said, Brother Marty, would you come? Let's pray. As Brother Marty comes. Father God, as we come before you on this most wonderful day that you've given us, Father, the day of hope, a day of grace, that we may understand and see what it is that you have laid before us to move forward, just as you did the disciples, Father, to carry your truth, to carry your hope, Father, to allow it to transform our own lives and our own hearts. Father, we're praying today that the hearts of the people would hear your truth. And Father, that you would move in this place this morning. And Father, if there's one here, Father, they don't know you. Father, now is the time that they need to come. Father, they need to make it right. Father, they've heard and they've heard and they've heard, but as the light bulb has went off, Father, may they not delay another minute. And Father, as your people, may we not delay in sharing the hope that's within us. And if there's ones here who say, I don't share that hope, I keep it to myself, Father, I just ask that they would come, that we would pray for the future of not just this church, but of the truth of your gospel, that we may go into the ends of the earth, just like you have commissioned, and share your hope. Father, be with us on this day. Lead us and guide us through this most special time. And I say this in your most kind and gracious heavenly name. Amen.